Welcome to Do This, Not That, the podcast for marketers. We share quick tips, things you can do right now, and then we add a little bit of chaos at the end of every episode. We also keep it short, like this intro. Let's check it out. We are back for Do This, Not That, and we have a repeat guest. You know when a guest is great, when we bring them back, because we almost never do that. So who do we have? We have Brian Minnick, who's the Chief Operating Officer at Zero Bounce. Now, Brian won't say this about himself, but I will. First of all, Zero Bounce, the reason I asked Brian to come back is the basics of email performance, getting in the inbox, not going to the junk folder or spam folder, deliverability. Everybody's always trying to figure out what they got to do. And Brian, he's a super technical dude because he oversees the fact that Zero Bounce helps hundreds of thousands of companies with better email validation, better email deliverability. But the reason Brian's cool is that he's normal. Usually get a tech person on here, they're like a big nerd. I don't know what they're talking about. They use big words I don't understand. But Brian, while he knows the words, he doesn't use them because he knows I'm very simple-minded. So we're going to break it all down here. He's awesome. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jay. I'm excited to be back. And I'll keep all geek terminology off to the side here today. So sounds good.
By the way, we didn't talk about this. I'm just curious right out of the gate. Are you like Star Trek or Star Wars, or are you neither because you're not that big of a whatever?
I'm neither because I'm much more into stupid comedy movies that like Step Brothers, Bridesmaids, that just allow me to actually escape. So I can't say I'm good into the Star Trek and Star Wars world. That's my wife for sure. Yeah.
Do we just become best friends? Okay, that was my stepbrother's thing. So there you go. Anyway, so let's jump into it here. I want to get into dispelling some myths about email deliverability. I want to tell everyone some table stakes things. Everybody's out there is like, okay, I don't think my emails are all going to the inbox the way they should. I think a lot are going to spam. I think it's because of this reason or that reason. And usually people get it wrong. So when someone comes to you and says, hey, I have 100% deliverability, I'm crushing it, or hey, my deliverability is terrible, what's going on? What are the basics that you kind of dig into that everybody needs to know?
Yeah. So number one, 100% of anything, not possible. So if you think you're 100% in the inbox, I can with certainty tell you, you're wrong unless you're sending emails to yourself. And only to yourself, like you send one email. Okay. So if you send mail in any sort of size, thousands of messages, hundreds of thousands of messages, you will definitely be in spam folders at some point. And this can be due to just user behavior. So if they have marked you as spam, or if, you know, we're G Suite, I use G Suite and Gmail. If you hit mark spam, it then says, do you want to also block this person? And if you say yes, it doesn't actually block the message, it throws it in the spam folder. So you can, you know, have even just individual users that can change the behavior of where your mail ends up going, but the aggregate of those signals can really start to influence what's happening on that network. And so it is definitely important to understand 100% is not possible. And what you want to achieve is maximum, you know, capability of being in the inbox. And you definitely want to be shooting for, you know, 98% and above. And this can be done, but it's not easy, and it does require some work, and it requires some effort to make sure that you're doing the right things.
All right. I want to ask you a series of true-false questions related to deliverability, and I want you to answer true-false and then maybe give you one or two sentences afterwards that support whether it is true or false, okay, about deliverability.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. True or false that if I put words like free in the subject line, that there are certain words if I put in my email subject line, it will cause me to go to the junk folder more by using those words?
Totally false. Now, there are some words, I want to say that. There are some words that we probably all know that should not be used. And it's not going to be those free or marketing type catchwords. They're going to be more words that are adult type words, these type of things. Okay. But no, absolutely not. That's not going to do it. Now, if you overdo it, you put it all over the place and you do it 100 times, maybe. But generally speaking, no, that's not going to put you in the spam folder.
All right. Everyone stop believing that you can't put words in the subject lines. All right. Next one. Is it true that if I get unsubscribes, even really mean unsubscribes, this will hurt my deliverability? And this is the reason I'm going to the spam folder.
This is false as well. And actually, unsubscribes send positive signals towards your deliverability, because it actually means someone opened and clicked. So just because someone unsubscribes, this is why I preach this, don't make it impossible for people to unsubscribe. You are doing yourself more harm than good, because if they don't want your email and they can't unsubscribe, they will mark you as spam. And that is way worse than an unsubscribe any day of the week. So no, that is not going to put you in the spam folder. What it can do is do it on that user. So it can, you know, have some influence on that user, but no, it's not going to hurt your deliverability, and unsubscribes are okay.
Okay. True or false? My emails are going into the promotions tab, and I want to get out of the promotions tab because that's a bad place for my emails to go. Should I try to get out of the promotions tab?
True and false is my answer. It depends. So if you don't want to be in the promotions tab, don't send a promotion. That's step one. If you want to be in the promotions tab, send a promotion, because that's what people are looking in that tab for. I don't think there's a problem with that. If I'm looking for sales and I'm in the promotions tab, what's the problem? That's exactly what I signed up to look for. So I don't think that's necessarily the issue. Where I think people are trying to game the system is they want to send their promotions and get them into the inbox. And I think that's really, that might be the false part, where you want people to, people want more visibility in the inbox. But also just bear in mind that the providers want to put the mail where the user would expect to receive it, with the mindset of clicking something. So I think they're doing their job there, and people are too offended by this promotions folder.
Okay. Now this one, hot take here. I want to know, true or false. My deliverability stinks. So what we're doing as a company, we're going to switch to another email sending provider, another platform, and that's going to solve our problems, because it's going to be a new thing. True or false?
Ooh, this is a tough one to answer on a binary level. And let me stay non-technical here. Maybe. So you can have bad infrastructure on an ESP or your sending platform, and migrating can help you. It can hurt you as well if you don't do it the right way. So the quality of that infrastructure and the reputation of that previous system to the new one can definitely play a role in what happens in the future, both good and bad. So here's the how you get around this. Here's how you fix this. You keep both systems running for a small period of time, maybe 60 days, and attempt to use both at the same time, and A/B test that. Now, if that's too technical here, Jay, I'm not sure that anything I say today will resonate. But if you can keep both of those systems running for, let's say, 30 to 60 days, which you're going to need to kind of do anyway, try sending half and half off each of those ESPs and get an idea on the performance. And that will give you a much better inclination of what's going to happen.
Okay. I want to try to see if you can explain something in the least technical way possible that I think impacts people's deliverability, email deliverability, and they don't know that they're doing it, which is if you are a relatively small marketer, maybe your database size is 50,000 names, okay? And you're sending out on whatever platform you're sending out on, and you're sending out on a dedicated IP address as opposed to a shared IP address. And that in and of itself, in my opinion, could be the root cause of your problem, because you're not sending out enough. You can't generate enough engagement. All these weird things that it's going to get weirdly technical. Can you explain to everybody why it's important for them to know if they're sending out on a shared IP or a dedicated IP, and what the impact about the good and bad about both are, in the least technical, non-boring, nerdy way possible?
Sure. So the shared IP, just to define this, means that you are on a IP address that is being sent, mail is being sent out of from lots of organizations. So meaning that you and maybe 50 other companies are sending mail. And the downside of that is the impact of those, let's just say 49 other companies, may hinder your ability and your deliverability if they are sending bad email or they're a bad sender, things of this nature. So where dedicated IPs come into play and definitely can help is if you are a good sender and you want to make sure you don't have outside influence that's impacting your deliverability, meaning and outside of your control, you don't get to control who's on that shared IP. Dedicated IP is definitely the way to go. And for most good senders, I would highly recommend you be on a dedicated IP to improve your deliverability.
Okay. The I don't issue, agree with you.
You don't agree with me. You don't have to agree with me. That's for sure. But what we can say, and where I can kind of say with certainty, is that you have full control of your own dedicated IP, whereas the shared environment, anything can happen and you really don't have any control over what's happening with it. And you don't know who the culprit is. So the only thing, if you have a problem, here's why I don't like it. If you have a problem, you can only go to your ESP and complain to them. And then hopefully they do something. If you have your own IP address, you know what that IP address is, and you can go to bat with the people you have a problem with. So that's kind of one of the big differences. You have much more control with a dedicated IP.
All right. Can I ask you a question, though? Because you're the deliverability guy. I'm not. So this is what my thought process has been. And then you can tell me why I'm wrong and I will trust you. So first off, for everybody out there, when you send out an email, your email is going out through some form of an IP address, a set of numbers. Okay. It is this mechanism where your email is actually going out into the universe. And this idea of being on a dedicated IP address where you're the only sender, the only marketer whose email goes out via that set of numbers is a dedicated IP address. I like shared IP addresses, and you'll tell me why I'm wrong, because if you're a relatively small sender, right, you got 50,000 names on your list, and you send out an email maybe once or twice a month or whatever, you are not generating a lot of engagement. So it's hard just to have the only traffic on that IP address be whatever mail that you're sending out. Now, if you're using a reputable sending platform, one of the big sending platforms, and they stick you on a shared IP address, so now that you're sharing the same sending mechanism as like 50 other marketers, right? And this is a really reputable platform, and these 50 other marketers are doing good stuff, and they're generating a lot of engagement, then when you send out, you get to piggyback on their back with, because you're on a shared IP address. I always felt that you have a greater likelihood of going into the inbox if you are sending out on a shared IP range as opposed to a dedicated one if you're not a big marketer.
So it's a good, it's an interesting take on it. And you're not wrong. Where I would argue is 50,000 to me is not so minuscule that you can't build reputation. Now, if you told me 50, 100, okay, that's not enough traffic to really even warrant having a dedicated IP address. And I would agree with you. But 50,000 is plenty to establish and kind of get sending reputation on it. And as long as you stick to your patterns, your behaviors, you know, you send mail this time of day, this days of the week, these type of things, you shouldn't really have any issues with it. It also doesn't make financial sense for really small businesses to go towards a dedicated IP address because there's a cost associated to it. But yeah. 50,000, I would definitely argue, you know, you should consider it, especially if you're having problems. That's really where you might be able to make that decision after the fact, and that's okay. But an IP address can make or break your deliverability. And me personally, I'd rather have control over that to be able to say the good and bad of it rather than rely on that third party to make me feel good. The one other part, which I just want to say, is we have absolutely seen once a sender maybe does something wrong and tarnishes reputation on that IP, and this can be you as the client, the one who's sending the marketing, that the ESP can actually downgrade you into a lower tier IP addresses behind the scenes. You'll never even know this took place. And that's going to absolutely impact your deliverability. So the question they take as a business is, do I still want this person's money? Well, yeah, because I need it for the ESP and I want that. But do I want to put them with my infrastructure of really, really high quality people? No. So let's downgrade there. Where they might be. And that will happen. You'll never have a clue that took place.
So for everybody out there who just was like, wow, the last 5 minutes of this show are really boring. I don't know what they were talking about. What is important to take out of this, if you're like, I don't even know if I'm on a shared IP or a dedicated IP, that in and of itself is very important for you to know and to check in with your platform and to get a baseline understanding of it. Because if you're having deliverability issues or they're whatever, that could be one of the reasons why. And I think that everybody out there needs to consider that. All right, Brian. So I'm curious, before we run out of time here, so you don't watch Star Trek or Star Wars, but I clearly established, everybody now knows you are a nerdy dude. I mean, the last 5 minutes proves it. what nerd things do you actually do if you don't follow the normal path of Star Trek and Star Wars?
Wow. I'm really going to embarrass myself here. I think my bad habit, is that what we're going to talk about here? What's my bad habit?
I don't know. I just feel like, do you go at home and do you have like a tattoo of like the Pythagorean theorem or something? I don't know.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. No, I'm much more not that nerdy. I think it's just aimless scrolling on social media, probably like the other people would be the bad habit that I would probably consider. I don't think TV is a bad habit, just to be clear, but no, I don't really watch TV. I'm trying to watch the Olympics, but man, bobsledding's just not that exciting.
Wow.
So, you know, things like that.
Wow. You're just not a nerdy guy. And for everybody out there, I'm going to get hate on Star Trek, Star Wars. I like both. Okay. I'm way more Star Trek than Star Wars a thousand times over. So, because all the new Star Wars after Return of the Jedi, I forget it. They're all terrible. Very, very important topic here that we're covering. So
I did like Mandalorian. I will say that. So I do watch Star Wars, but I watched the Mandalorian. Can't say I loved it. It was all right. But I like future stuff, techie kind of routes there. So that's where it was.
So everybody, what Brian's company Zero Bounce does is pretty wild, and they have a lot of free stuff and access to stuff. So Brian, give a commercial here. Hit everybody up with how they should get consumed in your world and what they can get access to.
Yeah, sure. So like Jay said, we help so many people that do email marketing, and we were founded because we have companies, sister companies that we came from, which are email senders that needed help with tools. They were having issues with deliverability. They were having issues with bad data. And so that's how Zero Bounce was founded. So we help people clean up the email, their email list and the data. We're the data cleaner uppers of the email world. And on top of that, we also offer a bunch of free tools that are very powerful to know if you're in the inbox or spam folder, and some different technical tests that you can run, blacklist monitoring, things of that nature, and also email warm-up. So if you are a new sender, or you are migrating, or you're on a dedicated IP and don't have enough traffic, you can use tools like warm-up to help, you know, boost, repair, and establish reputation on your domain. So our goal is to get you in the inbox. Inbox is where the ROI is. Inbox is what really is going to make your campaigns, you know, make money.
Listen, we're going to put all in the show notes, but first off, you can go to zerobounce.net. They're incredible. Find Brian on LinkedIn. We'll put his info in the show notes as well. He's a really great dude to just hit up, ask questions to. He's super accessible. He's awesome. And he didn't ask me to say this, but I've been a long time Zero Bounce customer. I'm a huge fan of what they're doing over there, and they're good people. So appreciate you, Brian, man. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Jay.
Wait. The party is not over. Go to jayschwedelson.com because I want to do stuff with you. I want to partner with you. When you click on the button, partner with Jay, you let me know what you got going on. Work with my agency, work with me directly. Get access to all of my free resources at jayschwedelson.com. And I got a book coming out this April. It's called Stupider People Have Done It. And all of the net proceeds are going to the V Foundation for Cancer Research. Go on Amazon. By Stupider People Have Done It. That way you can help kick cancer's butt with me. And if this podcast wasn't the worst podcast you've ever listened to, it might have been, leave it a review, follow the show. You are awesome. Go out there and crush it.